You are listening to Amplify Your Success Podcast, episode 215. And today we're going to have a behind the scenes conversation about websites that actually enroll ideal clients. You ready for this? Let's get started. Welcome to the Amplify Your Success Podcast. Get ready to ramp up your revenue, amplify your impact, and make your mark in the world. This is the show for experts, thought leaders, and service professionals who want to shatter their limits and achieve that next level. You're going to find out from other experts and influencers how they made it. Now, let's get amplified. Hey there, inspired entrepreneurs and business leaders. It's your host, Melanie Benson, authority amplifiers for people building a business around their expertise. And today I've got a guest lined up to talk about our websites. Now, one of the 50% of my clients ask me this question, and they say, Melanie, how do I know if I need to fix my website? Do I need a website? Help me figure out what to put on a website. And I think that we oftentimes really miss the mark with our website. So whether you have a really smashing hit of a website, or you've noticed that people go to your website and they click away quickly, this is a great episode to lean into and listen and find out what is it that I need right now to help me amplify my authority the moment somebody drops on my website. And speaking of amplifying your authority, before I introduce our guest today, I want you to go right now to authorityamplifiers.com. If you haven't gone through this free e-course I put together, this is a $497 training that I'm gifting to you to help you understand how well you're positioned for your ideal clients and partners and colleagues who are looking for experts just like you, solution providers who can deliver massive value, but maybe they're not seeing you because you don't have authority amplifiers in place. So this e-course is available to you at authorityamplifiers.com. I want you to head over there. You're going to get an invitation into my free Facebook community. And I'm also going to take you through all 7 of these strategies. I'll send you an email with a tip a day. And if you want, you can go and look at the video training that goes with it. And I want you to commit to putting at least one into action this month. It will revolutionize your business. It will open a floodgate of opportunity. Now, let's get into today's episode and really hone in what we need to be doing to position our website for our authority. Welcome back, Amplify community. I am really looking forward to today's conversation. We're talking about how to create a six-figure website that generates leads and sales without a lot of complicated technology. And I know this is huge for a lot of our amplifiers. You know you've got something really amazing you want to get out there, but you get a little confused and conflicted because you're like, wow, there's a lot of work to create those beautiful websites. And do you really even need one? We're going to find out today with my guest, Peter Sandin. Now, Peter is often called the marketer's marketer because more than half of his clients are marketing experts. His primary focus is marketing messages and funnels, but he spent nearly a decade in copywriting and conversion optimization. He now helps small business owners get more leads and sales from their website. And I've been getting to know Peter through a mastermind we're in together, and I've just been so blown away by what he's putting out and what he's sharing. I had to get him on the podcast. So Peter, thank you for joining me. I know it's super late where you are and it's super early where I am. So it's great we could find a way to meet in the middle.
Yep, great to be here.
It's no small feat, amplifiers, to be able to get these time zones to work when we're bringing amazing guest experts from all over the world. So thank goodness for technology, right?
Yeah, and I think we're both fairly used to working at rather somewhat odd hours to make it work.
Yeah, right. Although you a little bit more than me.
Probably, yeah.
So I really love this conversation we're going to have today about websites. And I've recognized with a lot of my clients who come into working on amplifying the results they're getting in their business, they're really looking for more visibility, they're getting a little conflicted and overwhelmed by creating a website. And you know, websites are, it's like, these are our retail brick and mortar buildings that we don't have anymore. This is the way we get found for a lot of people in the online market. So this is going to be really helpful for a lot of people. I want to start out though, you told me something as we've been getting to know each other, and I hope you don't mind me calling this forward, but it really, like how you went from being a copywriter to the work you're doing today, you had some pretty impressive accolades. In particular, you were telling me about a copywriting contest you won. Would you mind sharing about that with our listeners? Because I think that is really powerful.
Sure. It was years ago, so I rarely talk about it anymore, but it was with Danny Ini, who now runs Miracy. And he was already in the mastermind group, like I was as well, in the same one that you're now in. And he just sent a message there asking like, well, hey, I have the sales page, can you give feedback to it? And I responded saying that like, well, here's, I don't know, 5-7 different things that I think you could improve. And what about I would also write you a competing page, and you would then test your version and my version against each other. If mine doesn't win, you don't pay anything, so it's a fairly like safe deal for you. And he went for it. And before we saw any of the results, he also made me agree to write a post for him about the results, which I think says something about him as well, that he was willing to share the results and also the process with his audience. But yeah, mine ended up winning very, very significantly. I think it was over 400% increase in sales. There was a slight mistake in how we ran the test, so it's possible it wasn't in reality quite that big of a difference. But anyway, that was sort of where I started from, or that was the first big win. And then I started writing similar sales pages for other marketing experts, and that's basically where the whole marketer thing started, that I ended up getting a lot of marketing experts as clients, because that's how I was doing it. I targeted people who had good sales pages, and I just thought that I can beat them anyway. I usually did. So yeah, that's how I got started.
I'm so glad you shared that, because I think what it does is it immediately gives us clarity, the level of credibility and talent you have. Because if a marketer who's already good at marketing is turning to someone for this kind of guidance and copywriting, then it's absolutely, you know, that this person knows their stuff. And so it's made me really, really curious though, because you are the person that so many marketing experts are turning to now to help them with their messaging, especially on website messaging and, you know, sales copy and things like that. What do you need to say on your website that creates that energetic shift that makes people want to buy?
Yeah, so obviously it boils down to more than just one small thing. I talk about your marketing message. I call it your core value message, just to, I guess, for branding purposes. I used to talk about value proposition. But anyway, the point is I look for this very clear, fairly short message that compiles the most compelling things for people. And it's not about fancy words. It's not about getting the most things in there, but rather what is something fairly short. It's usually a few sentences, just a few different outcomes, a couple of different differentiators, things that really make people understand that this would help them. This would give them something they already desperately want, and also makes them see that, okay, this is the best option I have. It's not just a good option, because they usually have plenty of good options, but rather something that makes them see that this is truly better for them than all the other ones. And that's the goal of the message, to have those things there so you can easily not copy paste, but like just get those ideas across, whether it's a website or advertising or something else. And it gets that feeling for people that or specifically gets that feeling for your target customers that, hey, this is like, it's built for me. This is exactly what I wished I would find. And it's much more about finding the right things, not about fancy wording, not about brilliant copywriting, not about artistic expression or anything like that, but rather just getting to the bottom of what really creates that great match between your target customer and what it is that you sell.
So you just said something that I think is really important. It's not so much about fancy words. And I think sometimes people can get caught up in, you know, having this wording that means something to them, but it doesn't mean anything to the person who's reading it. And from what I understand and what I know about your work, like, this is really about like helping the reader, the person who's landed on this website, start to feel something that makes them want to take action. What do you think makes people take action instead of just clicking away and leaving the website altogether?
Yeah. And like, what people, for example, in conversion optimization, it's fairly clear what people tend to think is the meaningful thing, which is they think it is the, like, what picture do I put there? How do I say this thing so that it's the wording is perfect? And that almost never creates meaningful differences to either direction. Because if you don't change what you say, like what the message is, what is it that you're communicating, not just how you say it, but what it is that you're truly saying, it doesn't create a meaningful difference in what people perceive, what they feel or what they think or what it makes them believe or what it makes them expect or anything. So that's why really focusing on what it is that you're getting across, not the like, how do you do it? If you look at like my website or any of my funnels or anything, like, there's nothing fancy. It's super simple stuff. I mean, English is my technically third language, so it's not that I'm the best English writer or anything like that. Although, to be fair, I do write much better English than Finnish. But yeah, like, that's the first thing that I try to always get people to understand, that like, really focus on what it is that you're trying to make people understand, not about how you do that, because that's rarely going to make nearly that much of a difference.
Mm. I think that's really interesting, this visual appeal that you're talking about. And by the way, that's really funny that you write better in English than in Finnish. Someday you're going to have to tell me how that's occurred. We don't have to get into it right now, though.
Right.
But it does make me really curious. Why is this design element so important? Like, tell me about design and what does that mean? And is it as important as everybody thinks it is to really create that impression and that connection that makes people to take action?
It really isn't.
Okay. So now you're blowing up huge myth right now. So
yeah.
And how do you know this, by the way? How do you know it doesn't make a big difference?
Well, I've done conversion optimization for a long time, and a design change almost never creates a meaningful difference in results.
Interesting.
Even at best, like 90% of the time when it does create a measurable difference, something that we can measure that and say that, okay, this was a positive difference, it's a very small difference. And we're able to measure it because we have a massive amount of traffic. I mean, millions of visitors or hundreds of thousands of visitors, or at least something like tens of thousands of visitors. But usually, 99% of design tests don't create any result that could be measured to either direction. Also, I've talked in front of hundreds of business owners that I've asked to like raise your hand if you've done a website redesign project. And so far, I think there's been maybe one or two that haven't, and they've been just completely new to business. So they haven't had the time to have a redesign project. And so basically hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of redesign projects in different businesses. And then I ask, so who of you has gotten any better results, as in sales or leads at least, based on a redesign project? And if I remember correctly, one person has raised their hand. And then they admitted that, well, that's because their previous website didn't have the option for people to buy anything. So there's a fair bit of data already on just experience of it. But it makes a lot of sense. Because unless you start from a website that looks so bad that, or somehow so confusing that it truly makes it just hard for people to move forward, or makes them assume that this is just terrible, like, I can't trust someone who has this bad of a website. Like, if that doesn't happen, then unless you sell design services, then why would it make that much of a difference? That how it looks, does it look good or really good? And I'm not saying it wouldn't be beneficial for it to look really good. Like just today or yesterday, a design person, someone who designs websites, contacted me and was like, why are you saying design doesn't matter? Like, how could I possibly sell this idea forward? And like, no, You can do a design, it can look amazing, and that's beneficial, but it doesn't compensate if what you're saying doesn't make people want to move forward. No one moves forward just because it looks good, unless it's about design, unless it's about some game or some like experience like that. But if you sell, like, let's say some basic product or some normal services, no one will buy and say, I bought your, I don't know, tailoring services because your website design is so amazing. No, they will buy because maybe the clothes you've made are awesome, or the way that you communicate, the process you follow is great, or something else. It's not really about the design. It's just a bonus on top, but it will never compensate for a lack of a strong message underneath.
Okay, so this is a mic drop moment, Amplify community. I think this is one of the most common misunderstood pieces of websites. And that is, if you have a beautiful website without the right messaging, it's not going to work. So it is the messaging. And yes, you can have a brand aligned, gorgeous website, but it's not so much the design, it's the messaging. And, you know, with me teaching Get Magnetic Messaging on podcast interviews, this is something you really, I know you're getting now, is it's all about the message. That message is what creates that connection with somebody that makes them feel compelled to want to work with you. So I want to clarify something, though. We've been talking about websites. When you talk about a website, are you talking about the main website that somebody has, or are you talking about a standalone sales page, or both?
Both.
Okay.
How I usually look at it is that the website is, like, if I just talk about a website, I generally refer to the what is your primary domain and the basic pages, the homepage, the about page, contact page, blog, maybe some sales pages. If it's an e-commerce site, then the category pages and like all the pages people generally expect to find from your website. But I don't really see any need in most cases to have any separate websites or separate funnels, unless it's technically easier to set up. So that's a meaningful caveat. Like, I do have separate funnels for some things just because it was easier to set up that way rather than build them as part of the core website or the basic website.
Okay. So that's a whole nother conversation about funnels right there, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what do you think? So we're talking about like design elements. We're talking about website. And the quality of our message. How does someone go about really uncovering the message that they need to have on their website that's really going to be the magnet, as I like to call it, that pulls their ideal clients to take action?
Well, I have a process. I can go through it quickly if you want.
Yeah, maybe just hit the high notes since I know that's probably a whole training that you do.
It is. But yeah, five steps. First is understanding the target customer and like defining an understanding. And the difference there compared to what people usually do is that how it's usually done is that you define what they look like to you. Like, how would you describe what they look like so you can identify them? I don't generally care about that much at all. Sometimes it's influential and you always need to know that, but not for the messaging. What affects the messaging is how do they see you? What's their perspective towards what you're doing? And you need to define it, like define the target customer so that they specifically share the same perspective or at least a very similar perspective so that one message can be effective for all of them. So that's the first step. The second one is figuring out what they actually want. And not here, the common mistake is that people think of what is the most valuable thing people get. What's the most awesome thing about what I sell, or what are all the great things they will get? And then they just list a bunch of things and it ends up sounding like a used car salesman. So rather what you want to do there is really get clear on what are the top three or so most desirable things they will get from what you sell. Step number three is understanding the comparisons. That's not just competitors, but also all other ways of getting similar outcomes. So what is it that your target customers would compare you to? And then when you know how they see those alternatives, then you can figure out step four, what makes you look meaningfully different for them? So what is it that you need to highlight so that they won't anymore compare you to any other options? Because they know that, okay, you do this thing that the others don't. And then step five is putting together the most impactful things into something that's really easy to use as the guideline for basically all your marketing, whether it's your website or advertising or content or emails or podcasts or sales pages or whatever else.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I think messaging is about, is that exact formula. But I want to like unpack step four for a second, and I want to really impress how important this step is. And I think this is the hardest part for people to uncover for themselves sometimes, is what is making you so unique that, I mean, would you call that like finding your blue ocean strategy? Is that how you would describe that step?
Well, you can, but I think if I talk about blue ocean, then it can mean other things as well.
Got it.
It can mean just that you're changing your entire business focus so that you get to position automatically into a different market. Whereas if you're developing your messaging, you don't necessarily make any changes to your business or your offer or anything. You can just improve the message.
So it's your blue ocean message. Sure. Not your promotion strategy.
Yeah.
Got it. This is so helpful. Thank you. So as you're listening in, I want you to just reflect for a minute on how your website has been performing. And if you've been noticing it's not working the way it could, and you've been feeling like, wow, it's just not making the sales, I'm not getting the leads that I was hoping for, I want you to review those five steps that Peter just outlined for us and really like notice which steps you may have skipped. And I know Peter has some resources. I will share that in a minute. But before we do that, I want to ask you one more thing, because one of the things a lot of people have been taught and they've been hearing about for years, and we all understand if we have an online business, the power of content marketing, is blogging. And a lot of people have been throwing around this rumor that blogging's dead, but you got over 170 leads on average with each blog post you wrote at one point. And that's very impressive to me. What are you doing in blogging that makes it work so well?
A couple of things. So first of all, that's guest blogging. So instead of writing to my own website, okay, that at the time didn't have enough audience to really warrant writing a lot of posts to, I wrote for other people who had those audiences that I wanted to go after. So that's one thing. And people think that, oh, guest blogging is definitely dead by now. And it's no. The things that really mean the most, at least to me with it, as in getting leads from it, never changed. There's no change at all. Like, there was some announcement about how it doesn't work as well for SEO, I mean, search engine optimization. But even that hasn't actually changed. It's just that you can't do it with spam anymore. Anyway, the other thing is the structure for the content. And I won't try to go through the entire structure, but I basically followed a couple of different structures that are both based on the same ideas on every one of those posts that worked really well. But the key thing there is that you're not trying to write just a good article. You have to write a good article for it to be published or for it to make any sense for you to publish it, because if it isn't good, then no one's going to read it. So it does have to be good, but that's not the goal. The goal is to create effective content. And if you look at any effective marketing, whether it's content or a sales page or an email or whatever, it's pretty clear that it sets up, or it has to set up, an expectation of value for the next step. If there's no expectation of value for the next step, then no one's going to take the next step, or at least it's a very small percentage. Whereas if you can set up a high expectation and desire for the next step before you even tell what that next step is, it's not that hard to get good results. So basically what I did with the articles always was the same thing. I would deliver what I promised with the headline in the article, obviously, but I would also make people clear on what is it that they need next so that they really get to the results they're after. Because the article itself, it answered one question, but it didn't answer the key question in their mind. Like, how do you really get the results that they're after? Not just how do you do this one small part of it. And by making it clear for them what they need next, then at the end, even if it was just in the author bio that comes after the post, when there was a link to a free resource that told exactly that, so taught them the next step, it was fairly easy for people to want to take that, because they were already conditioned to wanting that very specific thing, wanting to learn that very specific thing. And then I was offering it there for free very easily. So that was really the key difference in what is usually considered good content and what makes it effective.
Well, and I'm reading between the lines here, but I'm assuming that's one of your key traffic generating strategies that gets those quality people to your website, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's been a long time since I've written those, and I still get thousands of visitors from those posts every, not every day anymore, but like weekly. So yeah.
That's impressive. Okay. That feels like a whole episode in itself someday.
The most effective post got over 1,100 leads and well over 100,000 euros of profit so far.
Wow. That is impressive. Okay. We got to talk more about that. So nice little teaser there at the end.
Yep.
So Peter, I know some of our listeners are going to be chomping at the bit to take this further and like find out how they can write this kind of copy and really learn how to message their websites properly. What's the first step they should take with you to learn about this?
Well, I have a free training. It's about an hour long and really, well, not all of it is just training. There is an offer at the end for those who really want to go through every single detail. But in the training itself, I go through what it really takes to make people interested immediately in what you sell without being salesy and obviously. Also, the other thing is going through that structure for the content in a little more detail. I don't go through the first parts because they're really basic. It's just good content. But I go through the steps at the end that set up that expectation of value for the next step. Then I go through what I actually think is the most valuable part of that training, which is how you get, like, how do you really stand out from competition in a way that's meaningful for people? And so far, everyone I've asked, a lot of experts I've asked, have agreed that it is the best way to differentiate yourself, regardless of industry, regardless of what you sell. There's a few exceptions, but they're really rare. So I think that's the key highlight, actually, of that training. And I also go through how I ran my business in one or 2 hours a day for a few years and still made six figures every year selling services, not some online products. So that's the next thing that I'd like to offer. And you can get it from petersandin.com/website.
Awesome. Thank you. That's super valuable. So we'll link those that URL up in the show notes, just in case you're scrambling for a pen and don't have it. Peter, I always like to ask my guests back to kind of a little bit more about you and your journey. I think in order to amplify results, there is a moment where we have to do something really bold. And it may be changing directions. It might be, you know, taking a courageous risk. It may be getting really outside your comfort zone. What do you think is the boldest move you've made to get where you are today?
Probably the time when I quit my job. My marketing business hadn't picked up almost at all by that point, but I just couldn't handle my day job anymore. There were some changes there that made it really inconvenient. I was moved to a different location and the travel time was insane and like all that. But yeah, I had basically no other income and I just talked with my, at that point, girlfriend and like asked that, well, do you mind if I just quit and like give this a go? And she said that, okay, it's September now. If you don't figure it out, if you don't start making like steady income by the end of the year, then like just find another job. Is that okay? And I was like, okay, cool, great. That's not an option in my head to find another job at all. But I agreed. And I think in about a month or so, I had started to make about five times as much money as I had ever done before, just because of the like, well, now I had all day, every day just to make the business work. And I basically knew how to make it work. I just didn't have the time and energy to do it when I was also at the day job. So it wasn't a huge risk, honestly, but it was still, I think, the biggest risk and the boldest change that I've taken on this journey so far.
Well, I think it's fascinating. You said it wasn't necessarily a bold risk for you, because I think there's a lot of people listening that would say that was a huge risk. And there may be some listeners who are still on that fence where they're trying to grow this passion business, the business they really want to be in on the side while they're, you know, hooked in and overwhelmed by something that takes up all of their days. I know a couple people I'm thinking of right now who I know listen to the show. Mm-hmm. And that knowing that it does work out, like knowing that it can be the best decision you make, is sometimes reassuring.
Yeah. Like she was working full time. We could have survived on just her income. So that's how it was offset, why it wasn't a massive risk. And I had always had not that hard of a time finding another job. So I didn't feel like I couldn't find some job. So that's why it didn't feel like a massive risk, but mm-hmm. I totally get it. I mean, I have sometimes clients who are still working either full-time or part-time, and they're starting the business on the side. And it is like, I mean, the progress is just really slow. It's very manageable. And in most cases, we can just go from like them working full-time to maybe reducing the hours to like get more time for the business and so on. But yeah, I totally get it. It can feel like a massive risk.
So really, like, the bottom line is if you really want to do the work you do and be paid well for it and have a business that is profitable, sometimes you're going to have to take the bold move of making that the one and only focus. And yep. Peter, I love the example that it did work out, even though you had a little bit of a safety net. And sometimes that's mm-hmm. what we need to take those bold leaps. So thank you so much for being here today. Thank you for sharing your amazing wisdom around websites. I want to remind everybody that's listening in, if your website's not performing, go get Peter's training. Peter, you said it's at petersandine.com/website?
Right. Yep.
Okay. And we will link that up in the show notes for you. Peter, any last words before we wrap up?
No, I had a great time. Thanks for having me.
Great. Thank you. And thanks for listening in. I can't wait to hear what you apply from this amazing wisdom that Peter shared with us today. Come on into the Amplify Your Success community and let us know what you're going to put into action. What are you going to do differently to get your website to perform better? Thanks for tuning in today, Amplifier. Be sure to join us right now in the Amplify Your Authority community at authorityamplifiers.com, and I'll share my 7 proven tips to be a highly paid expert that stands out in a crowded market. Plus, we're going to keep this conversation going, and I want to hear from you how you're going to amplify your authority and make a greater impact. Before you go, please take a minute to give our show and our guests some love over on your favorite podcasting platform. Subscribe, rate, and review. Leave your full name, and I'll spotlight you and your authority on social media.